Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Heyo, it's Pat Boyle, and today on the Best of the DA Show, the gang is all back. DA, Bogish, Bilotti, and Kaplan all working together for the first time in months, perhaps? Is Lance the worst draft trade ever? After the Cowboys trade for Trey Lance over the weekend. Plus, it's a momentous Monday. Your best audio of the day and sound check, including JR and Shep talking about Skinamax? What now? Plus, Pete Bilotti is going scorched earth on the Writers Guild of America strike. We are stunned to a news, advanced analytics, and the epic fail. It's the Best of the DA Show. It is now.
And we begin with Trey Lance. I will be very transparent. Since the Niners drafted Trey Lance, I have been a Trey Lance stan. I have been a supporter. I've been a believer. And the reason has been that if Kyle Shanahan can do what he did with those other guys, what could he do with a quarterback with the skill set of Trey Lance? Jimmy Garoppolo was not mobile. Garoppolo did not have a big arm. Garoppolo was not blessed with high-end athleticism. And he got him to a Super Bowl and another NFC Championship game. Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, last pick in the NFL draft. Last year rattled off how many wins in a row en route to another NFC Championship game appearance. Kyle Shanahan's play calling, elite. His quarterback ability to manipulate a player into a role, into a scheme, elite. And a Niners offense that has a bunch of weapons that doesn't take much to get them into space and let them do something big, like Kittle, like Debo, like McCaffrey, on and on. So I have been completely supportive of you just got to give Trey Lance time. Eventually, Shanahan will figure this out, and no matter the rawness, the inexperience, Lance's athleticism is obvious. And yet, the experiment is over. They trade him away to the Dallas Cowboys for a fourth-round pick, and now it is simply Brock Purdy, Sam Darnold, and Lance's era in San Francisco is over. Now, there's been so much talked about with this, and a lot of really, really hot takes, which I feel, let's kind of set the record straight on Trey Lance. One thing that has been said over and over and over again since this happened and since he was demoted to the third string QB last week was Trey Lance is the worst draft day trade ever and perhaps the biggest bust ever. Are either of these things true? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
That's probably the most likely option is that he's here. If we could find a landing spot for Trey that is, you know, is a really good one for him and, you know, works for our organization, that's not something we turn a blind eye to. But that's not where our focus is right now. That's kind of where we're at. Yeah, there's viable options for all players. But right now, Trey's a part of our team, and we're going to move forward with that in mind.
Didn't cross my mind, period. about an impact here.
I mean, I can't say that I necessarily expected it, no. I understand that that's business. I understand that they're probably on a timeline. They need to get something done. And as I said, he felt like that strengthened this team. To be honest with you, I'm not surprised by anything anymore. You've been in this league 8 years, been on this team. It's hard to say that I was surprised, to be honest with you.
We decided on our two we're going to be that we were going with. We'll see how our 53 works out to see if we're going to keep three or not. And when we told Trey, when we told him that he wasn't the two, I said we'd like to keep him here as the three. But we also want to do what's good for him, too. And we'll see how this plays out. Now, when we looked at other teams and he told us that he would like another opportunity to go somewhere where we had a chance to be the two, we thought we got some good deals for him. There's a number of teams involved. To end up getting the fourth was a little better than we anticipated and clears up a lot of money and allows a better situation for him, too.
Yeah, really hard day. Such a wonderful young man. You know, we took a shot and it didn't work out. We own that. We take accountability for it. But I think, as I think you guys do, his story is still very much unwritten. And I'm excited for Trey. Dallas stepped up and really wanted him, and they came after him. And I think it's going to be a great landing spot for him. I could tell everybody it wasn't for lack of effort on Trey's part or on our part that it didn't work. Circumstances took hold, and he struggled through injuries, and this team's ready to win. And, you know, we like our quarterback room. We like Brock Purdy a lot. We like Sam Darnold, and we like Brandon Allen. So we wish Trey all the best in Dallas, and we'll always care about that young man and admire his work ethic and the person that he is.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right, so you heard John Lynch there, courtesy of KNBR in the Bay Area, as well as NFL Network. You also heard the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones, and Dak Prescott discussing the trade and the 49ers arm of audio from Kyle Shanahan. Number one, it is not the worst draft day trade or trade involving draft picks in NFL history. It is not. It is bad. It is not the worst. Because you still can't top trading your entire draft for Ricky Williams. That once happened for the uninitiated, perhaps the young. In 1999, the brilliant Mike Ditka traded away every single pick in the draft, all of them, for running back Ricky Williams, who played three seasons in New Orleans. They gave up a lot for Trey Lance. They didn't trade their entire draft for one guy. You can't top that. So anybody that says it's the worst ever, that's hyperbole. I know that Ricky played more games for the Saints than Trey Lance did for the 49ers. But again, you need draft picks every single year to flesh out other parts of your roster. The Saints had none of that. All of those picks went to Washington. Imagine not having a pick in a draft. Number two, it's a bad decision by the 49ers. And I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, it was smart because clearly it did not work out. But I think there also has to be a dose of context here in that Trey Lance suffered from perhaps the worst run of luck that a number three overall quarterback could go through. Number one, he comes off this brilliant season at North Dakota State. And he should go into a year coming off a season where he didn't throw an interception. He did not throw a pick in college for that season. Ran for more than 1,000 yards. Was a great passer as well. And the pandemic hit. So he did not have a final season at North Dakota State. He didn't have a... They played one game. One game during pandemic. Then he gets drafted. And there's time to sit. There's time to wait. However, he injures his thumb in his first training camp ever. So now he's on the shelf for basically his entire rookie season. Then he gets the start. He's going to start last season. And his first start week one is in a monsoon. It's the Mud Bowl. There is literally no way to grade out whether he was good that day, bad that day, would have been good if it was dry out, would have been okay if it was in the dome. We have no idea. And then second start, he rips up his ankle. And then It just so happens Mr. Irrelevant turns into a great quarterback. Had Brock Purdy not been awesome, the Niners probably have the patience to try Trey Lance again this year. Maybe it's Sam Darnold instead being the starting quarterback. But they tried to trade away Jimmy Garoppolo because they did think Lance was going to be their everyday starter last year. So in some ways, Lance got screwed by just this crazy storm of events. One of them being a literal storm in week one of last year. So we don't have any idea whether he's good or not. And people assume because they traded him away for a fourth round pick, he's got to be really bad. I'm not of that camp. I know this sounds like DA. I mean, stop trying to die on this hill. But I'm not convinced he's terrible. He has really never played. Now, if he was better, he would have been a second string quarterback this year. Maybe even a starter. That was not the case. I'm not going to say otherwise. But for the chalking it up of he's a bum, he's a bust, this is proof. I don't see how you can say it's proof because the 49ers happened into Brock Purdy. Okay, then number three. Are we not supposed to ask teams that are close to winning Super Bowls to take some chances? Everybody looks at the Los Angeles Rams, and even though they said bleep them picks, they went for it and they won a ring, and everybody says that's all that matters. Nobody coming into the season is like, I can't believe they traded away all those picks. It wasn't worth it. They won a ring. The 49ers tried the same thing. Now, it did not work out. The Rams did. And so they'll be judged harshly for it. But you are asking teams that are close to go for it. In Jets land, if the Jets don't go out and get the people that Aaron Rodgers wants, we ask, well, why wouldn't you go the extra mile? If it works out, you get a ring. The 49ers thought they were getting a ring. They have not won one yet. Now, if they didn't make the trade, maybe they would have, because then you have draft picks you could use on guys like Micah Parsons in those slots. But the flip side is they knew they were limited at quarterback, that Garoppolo was not the final answer of the puzzle, and they tried to get him. Bad assessment, but the risk is not that you go for it. The risk is when you do go for it, the guy that you pick might be bad. Okay. They traded away three first-rounders, and that's a big haul. But it's also, there's a caveat, and one of the, what they got back was a first-rounder as well, which was Trey Lance. So they trade away three first-round draft picks, but they get a first-round draft pick in return in Trey Lance. So they really punt on two. And that's a lot. Not going to say it's not. But the way that this has been kind of crafted was, it makes it sizzle more if you go into worst of all time, biggest bust, total clowns, he's terrible. When in reality, there's actually a lot of context to all of this, and they made a big mistake. Lance wasn't good enough, but it doesn't mean it has to be this kind of fireball of disaster, because guess what? I mean, the 49ers are still a Super Bowl favorite this year. They're certainly on the short list. And if they win a ring this year, it's not like that capsized the franchise, whereas something like Ricky Williams did. I mean, it took forever for the Saints to dig themselves out of trading away every pick for a running back. So I'm just not on board with this being this massive, cataclysmic, worst of all time. He's the biggest. Now, for the Cowboys, they bought low on an asset that at one point in time they were high on. The thing is, I don't know how it really makes sense for Dallas, because he's not going to see the light of day unless Dak gets injured. And if Dak gets injured, the season's over anyway. If Dak stays healthy, he's not going to see the light of day, and he needs reps. So I'm not sure this is a great end result for Trey Lance either. He probably needed to go to a place where some point, if it wasn't this year, next year, you were going to have a chance to be the starting quarterback, and that's highly unlikely in Dallas.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Smiling like Little Mo every morning. It's a momentous Monday.
Every day can be a better day despite the challenge. All you gotta do is leave it better than you found it. It's gonna get difficult to stand but hold your balance. I just say whatever cause there is no way you're around it.
I just think people should know that if you stay positive, everything will be fine. You just eat, drink, and breathe positive thoughts. That's all you gotta do, and everything will be good.
Well, my man Little Mo, of course, was a huge Orioles fan. I'm sure he's still looking down, watching his O's, and he has inspired this momentous Monday segment. And I want to take you back to Baltimore, where a gentleman named Lee Sassy is a legend. He is 101 years old. He was part of the American forces in World War II, and he has collected every Baltimore Oriole Topps baseball card since their inception in Baltimore in 1954. Topps honored him recently on a day that he threw out the first pitch at Camden Yards with his own baseball card. Here is the video that cameras caught. One of his, I believe, one of his family members introducing him to the card set that Topps made for him.
Okay. There's something special that Topps has done. I hope this might be your favorite card in time.
Right.
They made this special for you.
Okay. Oh boy, thank you.
Oh,
I don't believe this. Yeah, boy, it's something else.
Got your own car now, Grandpa.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
You got a set of 101 for you guys to take with you.
Oh boy.
That's a special player there.
Yeah, I see that.
Did he hit?
Yeah, I see that. That's my World War II picture.
They took his World War II photo and put it on a card that was inspired by the 1951 set. So it is just one of the coolest cards you'll ever see. And they made him 101 of these cards because he's 101 years old. Now think about the life that Lee Sassy has led. Fighting in World War II, living to see 101 years old, throwing out the first pitch at a baseball game, collecting Orioles cards, every single one of them, for 60 years, 70 years, and now having Topps create a baseball card set in his image, in his honor. The video just really caught me, and I just was enamored with it, and I tweeted this out, and it got a lot of run on social media. And I just think Topps deserves a huge round of applause for doing this. And just Lee Sassy is an incredible American hero and an American story. And I just got the chills watching the video the first time around and every time that I see it and playing that audio as well. So This story is one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time and wanted to share that with you guys on Momentous Monday.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. Appreciate you being with us on this fine Monday morning. Remember, you can listen to us in podcast form as well, the best of the show, or the full 4 hours available by simply searching The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Saints Radio, as C.J. Stroud throws a 3-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter of last night's preseason game. C.J. Stroud trying to lock down that starting quarterback position in Houston.
Second and goal for the Texans, moving right to left towards Poydras. Under center is Stroud. Pierce, the lone back. Play action. Stroud to throw. Throws to the end zone. That is complete to number 12, Nico Collins, for the touchdown on the near side.
I think just being myself is all I need. I don't have to be anything or anybody else. I have to just be myself and make what we're doing comfortable with my shoes and comfortable with my skin. And I think I've gotten okay with doing that, making the offense mind, like how I think about plays. And of course, try to be on the same page with Bobby. But I think that's something that I've kind of got more used to, just being myself as I'm trying to do new things that I'm asked to do. So definitely just being myself.
Well, the experiment of whether you can ruin a young quarterback by throwing them into the fire too early will be tested severely over the course of this season. The Panthers are going to start Bryce Young from day one. The Texans are going to start C.J. Stroud from day one. Colts are going to start Anthony Richardson from day one. My guess is not all three will benefit for playing for bad teams week one as a rookie. But this is the reality of today's NFL. Impatience is everywhere, and it will ruin at least one of these guys. Baseball. We go to Root Sports, Mariners Television. Julio Rodriguez.
We just got to keep on going. It's not over here. It's not over yet. We're going to need your energy. Keep bringing the energy to this ballpark, and let's keep on riding this.
How cool is this? The Red Hot Mariners have vaulted themselves into first place in the American League West on top of the Texas Rangers, having one of their best seasons in franchise history, and the dangerous Houston Astros. At the moment, the Mariners have a one-game lead on both the Rangers and the Astros. They've won 9 of their last 10 games. And a 3-2 win yesterday over the Royals gives them the division lead. Rodriguez is the hero in Seattle. They are one of the most fun teams to watch in baseball. And if you gave me Mariners, Orioles, ALCS, I'd be in on that, baby!
I love how in that clip we just played, he almost curses.
Twice.
When he goes, let's keep riding that. I'm going to keep it right there. Exactly. I'm going to keep it right there.
The first time I heard it, I actually thought that he had cursed once and then held himself back once. But he held himself back twice. So good job by Rodriguez. One of the most exciting, great young players of the game. And Mariners fans have been desperate for a winner for a long time. He's not junior yet. But Julio Rodriguez, this M's team, is making them believe in the Pacific Northwest. And I believe as well. Now, let's go back to Thursday night, shall we? Right here on CBS Sports Radio. The JR Sport Brief, weeknights here on the network. And JR is excellent, and his producer, Shep, is excellent as well. And JR visited Washington, D.C. recently, and they got to talking about it. So, of course, we want to play that here on the show.
I like coming to D.C., man. You've been down here before?
I have, man. The Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial. I'm trying to think. There's you know, Mr. Jackson Goes to Washington? Can that be a remake?
Me?
Yes.
You want to make a movie out of this? Like, what do you want to...
Well, it's kind of catchy. And there is that Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, that classic. But there hasn't been a remake, though.
Mr. Jackson Goes to Washington.
Yeah.
Sounds like a Cinemax movie.
No, it doesn't. It sounds like a feature film, a drama, or a family friendly comedy. Sound like a Cinemax.
Like something that comes on. Does Cinemax still exist?
Well, JR, the good news is I don't think you and I know. And more importantly, I don't think you and I care, because God knows there is trash and then there's Cinemax.
Yeah, but that's why, I haven't seen Cinemax. I don't know. That's a good thing. I don't know if Cinemax still exists.
Yeah, thank
Mr.
God
Jackson Goes to Washington. That does sound like a Cinemax title. That sounds pretty interesting. But no, I love it out here.
I love that conversation. I love everything about that conversation.
Now, they're trying to say Skinemax, aren't they?
I think they're suggesting that it's a late-night Cinemax movie, which the shorthand is Skinemax for all those naughty movies at night. But, I mean, there is a Cinemax. It's just now combined with HBO and called Max, right?
Yeah, but the freestanding channels are still there, too.
The channels on your TV, just Cinemax.
The channels on regular cable are still there, but along with Max,
which is the streaming platform for all of the Cinemax and HBO stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you gotta love Shep dropping a Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, a 1939 movie starring James Stewart. Jimmy Stewart.
That's even too old a reference for Pete.
I mean,
he didn't get that one.
20 years too young for me.
Think about it. Shep has taught listeners about Mickey Mantle and now about Jimmy Stewart. And I like, because he's right, JR, Mr. Jackson Goes to D.C. does sound like a Skinemax movie or a porno.
Yeah, Mr. Bo Jackson.
Hey, ladies.
I love how when he asks if Shep has been to Washington, D.C., he goes, yeah, the Lincoln Memorial, Washington Monument.
Goes into all the... He basically did done for a day. JR. JR. Oh,
Air Jordan, his airness, Michael Jordan himself.
I love those guys.
By the way, because I was confused too, Cinemax is not part of Max.
Really?
Yeah, Max is HBO and other like Time Warner properties, but Cinemax is still its own thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they call it Max then?
Because it was HBO Max, and then when it was just HBO's streaming thing, and I think when they brought in like Discovery Channel stuff is on there,
right?
Then it became just Max, but Cinemax stuff is not on there.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
So what a labeling nightmare.
Cinemax, HBO Max, no affiliation.
I think they are possibly cousins business wise, but Cinemax is not part of Max.
Wow. What a weird branding decision to make, to take the HBO. Yeah. And the reason they did that was because they wanted to be family friendly, and they felt that automatically when you think HBO, you think about some very adult content. But HBO's the brand. HBO's what everybody knows. To eliminate the HBO from the HBO part of your product seems to be silly.
And is Skinemax a subsidiary of Cinemax?
Skinemax is not an official term.
Oh, okay. That's not like... No. You can't find the channel Skinemax. That's just the term for pornos on Cinemax.
Yes. Correct.
Oh.
Yes.
For the longest time, I thought there was an actual channel called Skinemax.
No. It's just after like 11 p.m. when like Red Shoe Diaries came on.
There you go. And, Cat House was another one.
The lady that used to be married to Gene Simmons. What was her name? Shannon Tweed.
Oh, Shannon
Tweed. She was a big... Yeah. Skinemax Bones, actress.
Look at you. Listen, now I know what you used to do.
There were times where that was the only thing we got.
Yeah, baby.
And Scramble Channels.
You gotta remember, for people like Bones and I that are now in our 40s, mid-40s, well before the internet, we come of age, and, you're looking at SI swimsuit issues.
Right.
And flipping through late night TV.
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Maybe there's a Victoria's Secret catalog in there, but it's not like you can dial up naked people doing naked things all the time for free on your phone like kids got now.
No, once AOL connected, you got mail. You got porn. It didn't happen.
Yes,
one didn't follow the other.
That's exactly right.
Wow. So 15 years, I guess maybe 20 years ago when you were dating...
I mean,
now
almost
Bogus,
30 years ago.
She's asleep Friday night, 11 o'clock.
you got to remember, I'm high school class of 97. Bogues is class of 98.
Yeah.
Neither one of us have high-speed internet probably until we go to college.
Correct.
So you're talking about through the age of 18, it's dial-up. And you ain't watching anything on dial-up that's worth, you know, your time. And dial-up I only got in 94, 95.
Right.
So I'm getting to freshman and sophomore year in high school, and there's not even an internet that exists.
Oh, boy, let me learn you something. When I first got on the internet, it meant my family couldn't get phone calls.
That's right. That's exactly right.
The line was busy.
That's right.
I had to get off in case someone was calling us.
Yes, that's right.
Not now. Let me take care of something.
Mom,
then you can talk.
No.
Then you can talk to Aunt Joni.
Tell Grandma to call back later.
Best would be when you were dialing up and your mother or father was trying to make a phone call at the same time.
Right.
Why are you using the internet again?
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah, the fancy folks got a second line that was just for the AOL dial-up.
That's right. And then when you wanted to load even a website like ESPN.com or something, or CBS Sports, what was it called? CBS Sports something.com.
Oh, that's right. It did have an extra word in it.
You click on it, and then you just wait, and you leave the room until it loads, until you come back.
Right.
And use the bathroom.
Slowly came down in stages to fill the page.
The good old days.
Use the bathroom. Go get yourself a drink of Kool-Aid. Come back. Maybe you got the first story loaded. Maybe you got to go do
Sports
something
line.
Else. CBS Sports Line.
That's right.
Yeah. CBSSportsLine.com. Yeah. Finally, a bonus clip. We lost an American icon as Bob Barker passes away at the age of 99.
Four. He says four. Open that door. It's a one. Rod, did you not do the car plug?
Did I do that? I got some. Maybe I did. You want me to do it again?
Did you not do the car plug?
I didn't read about it.
Wait a minute, folks.
I got so
confused. Wait a minute. You can see what I've gone through for 25 years with the kind of people I'm working with. He doesn't read the plug. She can't drive the car. I tell you, is it any wonder to you why I have white hair? Tell him about the car.
I got so confused, she ran into the wall.
That's awesome. And that is your sound check. Bob Barker would have turned 100 years old in December. And a couple of things. Unknowingly, he raised a lot of us because he was our dads. Because we all watched him on sick days and snow days when our parents weren't home, mm-hmm. when they were working or whatever. So you ended up spending a lot of time with Bob Barker as a kid. Usually you end up watching like SportsCenter for the third time and then you're sick of it. So you click over to Price is Right and you watch Bob Barker. That show is usually an hour and a half long, right? So you could usually get...
Hour. It was 11 to 12 when I was growing up here in New York.
So you could usually get a good 45 minutes every day that you're home during school with Bob. And he's a gentle, humane, cared about kids, cared about dogs and cats being spayed and neutered, was a gentleman. He was a classic. Like, you know, we all had an experience with Bob Barker. So we lost a great one, but also he was always tan, okay? Always. So I really don't want to hear about how often I got to put on sunblock. All I hear is put on sunblock, save your skins. This guy was getting fake tan until he was 99 years old. He lasts until nearly 100. I mean, how bad could it have been for Bob Barker to get
that's your takeaway?
Fake tans. The guy was tan until he was 99 years old.
Was he tanning booth tan or spray tan?
Well, I guess that's true. Could have been spray tan. But how bad could the sun really be?
It hurts.
By the way, terrible take.
I'll let you know in 5 years when I get my first skin cancer thing removed.
Also, great turn in Happy Gilmore. The Price is Wrong. Punches out Happy Gilmore. I mean, the guy did great things.
And I'm sure we've all seen some different version of this tweet since yesterday that said, I can't believe this guy lived to almost 100 but didn't go over. Like in the game, he got to 99, didn't go over.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're pretty amazing. 99 and 9 months old, didn't go over.
And when did you kill him?
So it does... The passing of Bob Barker does have a DA show twist here. Because once upon a time, I mistakenly thought he had already passed away.
Becomes a successful game show host,
Then they hire him for The Price is Right and becomes arguably the greatest game show host ever. They didn't just pluck him out of a two-bit acting studio. He was built up through the years to finally get to the throne of The Price is Right. And now we just think anybody can host Jeopardy? Former football player, an actress, maybe a this or a that. I mean, come on, former contestant. Bob Barker's got juice, or had, God rest his soul. Bob Barker, you know, that guy had the goods to be a great game show host.
It's a bad job by me. My bad. I had not heard from Bob in a long time. He had not texted me for a long time.
My bad, my friend. I'm sorry.
Did not see him cross my timeline. So I had assumed he was up there in age that he had passed away.
Excuse me, my bad.
I had found out during commercial break or from the D'Aliens on Twitter, D.A., Bob Barker's not dead. But the take remains. This is back when Aaron Rodgers could host Jeopardy. No!
I'm so mad about this.
No! No, not anybody can do it. Bob and Trebek and Sajak, and these are the legends. Wink. Not the defensive coordinator of the Giants. The actual Wink Martindale. These guys work their entire lives for those jobs. You don't just give them to quarterbacks, football players.
Have they figured that out, by the way? Is it officially Ken Jennings and what's her name?
Well, now Mayim has left the Celebrity Jeopardy.
Okay.
She's doing this, I think, in honor of the SAG-AFTRA writer's strike.
Oh, okay.
So now Ken Jennings has taken that over, the Celebrity, and I think now it's mostly Jennings.
What do you mean, in honor of the writer's strike?
Come on.
You're not writing Jeopardy.
Game show. Enough.
I'm not as in tune with the reasoning, but...
Enough.
Ridiculous, these guys, millions of dollars walking around. I'm getting a little tired of it.
Well, the writers don't make millions of dollars.
Yeah, but then the actors are stepping in now, like they're going to do something.
Solidarity.
Yeah, oh, hey, I'm going to hold the picket sign, then they're going to go back to their $400 million mansion. Get lost. Enough. Pay the writers, let's go.
Do you support the writers' strike?
Oh, look, get your money. Get your money, but you know what? I don't need to see the actors out there. They're not doing anything to help the matter. How about you pay them, all right? And you take care of the problem, all right? Well, get this over with, and enough with this these solidarity claims. Enough.
What if
I want to watch a game show?
Wait, your idea to solve the writer's strike with the producing companies is have the actors pay the writers?
Yes, they should. they should chip in.
They do not need you on that picket line.
What if there is a
go off it then?
What if there's a SAG after a board op strike?
We don't have that.
He's not in SAG after. That's the storyline here.
Will DA
be declined membership?
Will DA be paying you, Pete?
I will march in solidarity. I'm with all the board ops.
That's right.
If Pete wasn't a union, he'd be perpetually on strike. But here he is telling the actors to get back to work.
I will make sure my deal's
Blossom on my Jeopardy screen.
I'll make sure my deal's taken care of. Enough.
I want to watch a game show, damn it.
And you can still watch Jeopardy. You can't just watch it with Blossom.
Oh, I got to watch one from 4 years ago. Great.
Enough.
I honestly can't tell when they're new and when they're not new.
Yeah.
Because Blossom needs to go out and have a coffee and walk a picket line for a couple hours and then go back home. Ridiculous. Enough.
But wait, Pete, quickly, tell me your list of complaints about your work conditions.
I don't have a union. Sorry.
If you did, you'd be on strike outside the building
now. I did, I'd have things taken care of.
Also, Who's Blossom? I thought her name was Mayim Bialik.
That was a character she played in a TV show called Blossom. It was before you were born.
That was her first role. That's what made her a star. She starred as Blossom in an early 90s sitcom on NBC.
And I like Jennifer Von Oy better.
Who played Six, her neighbor.
If she was picketing Pete, would you be for
her? Yes, because I'd be right there, too.
And a young Joey Lawrence.
That's right. Whoa. Yep, that was the big line.
That's the biggest catchphrase from that show is whoa. Nice.
That's when NBC had a lot of good shows.
Did they have writers on that show?
They probably did, but they didn't strike. You never heard about strikes in the 80s.
And they wrote "Whoa" very well.
Yeah. That's right.
We'll see if
two O's and an A or an A. And
we'll see if Awful Announcing can post out the headline. Pete Bellotti tells SAG-AFTRA actors, enough.
Enough.
Pay the writers yourself.
Damn the solidarity. I mean, we got enough problems going on around here. And this is the big problem we have in Hollywood land.
Hollywood land.
Enough. Give me my Jeopardy.
Whoever.
Give me my talkies.
You know what? It's all of them. It's all of them. It's the producers, it's the writers, it's all of those guys. Let's go get back to work. Enough people out of work, and these guys are protesting TV shows. I'm not wrong either.
How long have you been? Well, you're partly wrong, at least.
Oh, shut up.
I didn't ask you. Specifically, you were wrong about the actor should pay the writers. That's definitely wrong. All right.
Dwayne Johnson can afford to pay a couple million to some of these writers, get them out of having a, you know.
Hey, Dwayne, I wrote Scorpion 3. Do you think you could pay me for that?
Yeah.
I wrote Daddy. What was that one where he's like a Daddy Daycare or something? Daddy no, Superhero?
He's the Tooth Fairy, wasn't he?
That's what it is, yes.
Yeah, I was the fourth writer on the last scene of the Tooth Fairy. Pay up.
Maybe this is a good time to cleanse some of these writers.
I actually cleanse.
Yeah, the now. Tooth Fairy.
Tooth Fairy.
So now you're just firing them.
Well, I mean, write some good movies.
I love it.
Go ahead, Bogus.
Hugh Janis, Kent McKay, Tyler Sisala all have 12 of the first 16.
What was Hugh's last name?
Hugh Janis.
Oh, okay.
Sheldon Sparks. Oh.
Yo, you just got it on a second read?
Hugh. Well, I'm mispronouncing it. It's last name Janus. Hugh Janus. Thank you. 21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for being a friend, being part of the DA show. You can always listen to the show on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network and also on SiriusXM Channel 158. The conversation is about Steph Curry being the greatest point guard of all time. So people just are ignoring Magic Johnson's complete existence. Jeffrey tweets, Yo, DA! Longtime Sixers fan, I'm still having bad flashbacks about Magic and his one-man demolition of my squad in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. No way in hell does Steph do what he did. Yeah, Magic Johnson subbed in for an injured Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and had like 40 and 20 to win the NBA Finals. Why are we even debating who the greatest point guard of all time is?
Has anyone other than Steph Curry said that, though, that Steph is better than Magic?
Yeah, unfortunately, because a lot of people just forget everything that happened before the year 2006.
Or they're Pete, and they don't know what has happened since 1990.
Oh, shut up, Bogus.
That's the opposite.
I'm not a complete loser.
Did you guys see over the weekend, JJ, one of our comrades here in the CBS Sports Radio hallways for a long time? He hosted the DA show when I was out back in the day. He would be a fill-in host. He moved over to The Ringer a couple of years ago, and he's doing great things over there and a friend of the show.
You maybe get order of baked clams.
He gave us the famous baked clams soundbite. He had his wedding, and Mraz was invited, and a lot of other friends of JJ that maybe he knew outside of these hallways. Not a lot of CBS Sports Radio people, but a lot of people from the embargoed radio station down the hallway. Mraz, though, made it. And did you see Mraz posted a picture on social of him smoking a cigar and said, eat it, haters, or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, haters.
Yeah, him and Sal Licata, who's the new BT partner on the local side.
Take that, haters, or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
Is he taking a lot of heat over there?
Yeah.
Are there haters? Because I
was
yes.
I was thinking that Mraz was kind of like crushing it.
No. Nope. No, I mean, he certainly has, he has love. I don't know what the full breakdown is, but I mean, there's a good chunk of the audience, beginning, if you remember, with my FedEx guy who did not want Sean to get the job to begin with.
Right.
So he's disappointed, and now in reality, there are new people who are pissed off that Sean has the job.
You know what? I had to go find one of his tweets related to the fan, and I'll give you an example of how much they like him over there.
Well, he told us, were you not on the thread, that people were asking his Danielle how big Sean's Bo Jackson is? Like, it's, there's been some blowback.
Some.
But there's always going to be trolls. There's always going to be, you know, there's haters everywhere. I mean, there's haters of this show as well. So that's not surprising that, well, that's a little surprising that they would ask Danielle about the manhood of. But do we think it's a good idea for Mraz to be smoking a cigar in answering the haters almost like he won a championship? This is somebody else's wedding. Is that answering the hate, that he's smoking a cigar at a wedding? Is that a, is that some type of exclamation point? It's just you got invited to a wedding.
I think a more appropriate picture would be if they continue to win the ratings war.
Right, right.
Then you can, you know, say eat it haters, maybe with a side by side of him with a cigar. This is almost like,
you're just drunk at a wedding.
They're in their first ratings book, so it's almost like a rookie quarterback posting a picture of, like, right before week one starts and saying, eat it, haters.
Yes.
They're not even in their first real ratings book, and he's doing that. He's got a problem.
I thought the message was bizarre. It had nothing to do with it wasn't even the guy that he's working with.
Correct.
That's just another guy on the net, on the station over there. And I guess they were both answering to the haters. But again, this is not a sign of your success, Mraz. You're just invited to a wedding.
Right, but it looks like he bought a second suit.
Okay.
So there's that with his new money. True. He's smoking a cigar. He's living life. I mean, he has, I don't think they're going to send him back here. So he is winning despite the negative feedback.
Yeah, but he would still be invited to that wedding if he was still working on this show.
Yeah, no, I don't.
So how's the caption, eat it, haters?
Because I don't think it was like, haha, look at me, I'm at JJ's wedding. It was just like, here's me and Sal having a great Friday, regardless of setting.
I see.
We don't care what you putts is. Because I think Sal is also taking some heat for his new gig.
So this is like, you can't affect our happiness.
Exactly.
Because we know social media is a cesspool, as Zach Gelb tells us every night at 6 p.m. Eastern. But there has been a lot of, as you said, negative feedback, trolling, hating of Mraz on the local side.
Yeah, it's the only saving grace for me and Pete.
Well, what is funny is when you do something in a local market that's really intense, really big, like a New York, a Philadelphia, Boston, I certainly felt this at times as well. You know, you're facing a lot of criticism online. That makes the criticism that he faced on our show look like preschool.
Yeah. He misses Robin 3-2-1.
Robin 3-2-1 might as well be his best friend compared to the stuff that he's getting. But it's like what he would give for glorious splat to question his button down today is just like that used to get him down.
Or someone to mock his football food of the week.
Right.
Right, when people were mad at him here, they made a fake Twitter account to tweet dumb things. Now he has like stalkers.
Now people are DMing his wife.
Now people calling him fat or more ass is like the most polite insults they're giving him.
Yeah.
Have you found an example yet, Pete?
I'm looking. He has just so much crap on his timelines. I have to go through the whole thing.
Last week too, so there's no fresh stuff.
No. So I'll have something here probably after your update.
But it has clear. I don't know. I wouldn't say, I don't know about gotten to him, but it has clearly. He sees a lot of it. At what point does he not read his comments or his mentions anymore?
Never. He needs. That's his fuel.
He needs it.
Needs it
in a positive way or a negative way, though.
I don't know about the psychology of it specifically, but he needs it. It's why he keeps posting videos of him shirtless in his pool all last week. Because he needs people to respond to him shoving it down their face. He needs someone to call him the F word. He needs someone to congratulations on the new, like, he just needs the attention. It will never go away. He will never be in a healthy enough spot mentally or emotionally to not need any kind of affirmation from the outside.
Even all the negative.
Yeah. They're one and the same. He might even need the negative more than he needs the positive.
Ooh, that's an interesting psychological twist.
I mean, it's why most of his tweets are trollish. I mean, even the other day, just this weekend, he was tweeting about the Giants-Jets game. And he's already got his fellow buffoons, his new buffoons, who are like, I can't believe now how much I hate you. Like, they're already, because he's ripping the Jets. And people, and this is why I've never hated the Jets. Now I hate the Jets. Never hated the Giants. Now I hate the Giants, because he's just him. And he can't not pick up his phone after a preseason game.
He's the agitator.
Yep.
He's the agitator. Yeah. Total agitator. All right. Well, eat it, haters. Mr. Andrew Bogus is a kind sir, and he's got our headlines.
C.J. Stroud is finally, officially, the Texans' starting QB, joining Bryce Young and Anthony Richardson to be so honored. Stroud threw his first touchdown pass of the preseason last night in New Orleans. Nico Collins caught it, and it ended Stroud's night after two series. Houston eventually won 17-13, and now the preseason is over for everybody. The Saints, by the way, got three catches, 34 yards, and one score from returning tight end Jimmy Graham. He did not play there last...
Can you believe he's still playing?
Well, so here, I mean, and well, also off of last weekend. Right, yes. So he did not speak to the media since, and he didn't do it after the game last night. But last weekend, didn't play against the Chargers in L.A. because 2 nights before the game, he was arrested for suspicion of being on a controlled substance plus resisting arrest. The team has said he had a seizure. As far as I know, there's been no confirmation of that.
Yeah, this is so bizarre.
The charges, I think, are still pending as far as I can see. I don't think that everything was resolved legally either.
Because people thought he was under the influence when he was walking around the streets and he was clearly out of his mind.
Yeah.
Team says, no, it wasn't that. It was a medical episode. Okay. Maybe it was. Maybe. Who knows? But if you go into a medical episode where it appears you're under the influence and you're like stammering, staggering, kind of out of control in public, that seems like it's a serious enough medical episode where you would not play football a week later.
You'd think.
So either he had a dramatic medical episode, which somehow he was clear to play football in a meaningless preseason game a week later, or it wasn't, and that's a total lie, and he was under the influence, and, you know, it's just like, well, yeah, he was on drugs or whatever, allegedly, well, whatever. And it's like, yeah, he can play football because now he's not on whatever the substance was.
I mean, and we wouldn't know this because of medical laws unless he has some kind of condition that causes seizures, and the Saints and his doctors would know right away that, okay, it's a seizure, but it doesn't mean anything else. Like, he has them, he's okay, we don't need to check or observe or whatever. Like, this is just part of, like, some condition. Maybe that's the only way you'd get to some kind of, like, this kind of clarification.
Or if he forgot
later.
His medication that day.
Right. But I feel like, though, you go to the hospital, you're arrested for that. You're taking a test, a blood test, right away, and wouldn't by a week later, wouldn't they go, okay, there's nothing in his system, the seizure story seems to fit, here is evidence from his doctors, charges dropped. And I don't think the charges have been dropped yet.
That's a good point. Yeah, how many times do we get a professional athlete is staggering around public to the point where he had to be arrested, and that being a medical condition, and then that guy being cleared to play.
Right. And again, it doesn't matter. Not the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
So teams now need to be at 53 players by tomorrow afternoon. The Bears have cut backup QB PJ Walker and old lineman Alex Leatherwood. Chicago follows the Raiders in dumping the former number 17 pick from the 2021 draft. Arizona State football self-imposing a bowl ban for this season as a sign of solidarity with the SAG-AFTRA strike, and because Edwards' staff apparently committed
unlimited
recruiting violations. The Giants avoided a three-game sweep, 8-5 of the Braves at home on Sunday Night Baseball. San Francisco stays a game and a half back of the Diamondbacks for the last NL wildcard spot. Arizona beat Cincinnati yesterday 5-2. In the afternoon, Mookie Betts capped off his return to Fenway in style.
Mookie swings, hits a high drive to left. This ball is back. It is gone. A home run over the monster. Mookie Betts, a two-run shot
and the Dodgers lead 4-0.
Tim Neverett, Dodgers Radio Bets and Company, winning 7-4 yesterday. He had 7 hits over 3 games. U.S.
Got a standing ovation, too, when he got back to Fenway. Yep. So that was interesting that Red Sox fans always wanted him to stay, and they appreciated a good player.
U.S. men's basketball back in action at the FIBA World Cup. Tip-off with Greece is about 5 minutes away. This is game 2 of pool play. Yesterday, France lost to Latvia, meaning Latvia and Canada will survive that group. The French had gold medal plans after winning bronze in the previous 2 versions of this event. Victor Hovland won the FedEx Cup and an $18 million check yesterday by winning the Tour Championship at Eastlake. Hovland won last weekend, too, cruising to a 5-shot win over Xander Schauffele this time. And Simone Biles won her record 8th all-around title at the U.S. Gymnastics Championships last night at 26. She is the oldest to win since 1963. And now she and Team USA focus on the World Championships next month. And now, we stun.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
If only we still had a food guy. A Tel Aviv restaurant has, quote, stirred up a crap storm by serving chocolate ice cream in a toilet-shaped serving dish.
Right.
A TikTok video shows the waiter bringing the bowl to the table, lifting the lid, exposing the chocolate ice cream splattered all over like someone just chugged cough medicine and had an oopsie. And the diners dive in, spoons in hand, and start eating the chocolate ice cream out of said big toilet.
Respect. Why would that be appetizing?
It's disgusting.
That's not how ice cream also should be served. Splattered.
No.
In any type of container. But it is particularly splattered in the bottom of a toilet.
There's nothing redeeming about this. There's no art or creativity or whatever. It's not funny. It's gross. You shouldn't want to eat it. No thank you.
I don't even think it's a toilet. I think it's a really heavy porcelain toilet that they serve it in.
Now, are these toilets in use and they take them out, or they're new toilets?
I think they're new.
What is the bit here?
To be gross.
Why would people want to dive into a toilet to eat their chocolate ice cream?
Oh,
we're a horrible species.
I mean, if you know it's ice cream, you just go along with the bit.
No, but I know it's ice cream, and I still gag looking at still pictures of them scooping out of the bowl.
Ice cream is so delicious. Why would I want to ruin that experience by eating it out of a toilet bowl?
So you wouldn't do it?
No.
No.
Like, if you go to this restaurant, where is this place? In Taiwan?
Israel.
Tel Aviv? You're not going to go there because...
Nope. In fact, no. I'm not going to go there because of this.
Well, I could go eat there, but I wouldn't order the ice cream in a toilet option off the menu.
You just get off the plane. Hey, let's go see that toilet option.
The story calls it dulce du leche.
Think about how, I don't know, just for social media?
No.
For blanks and giggles?
No.
No pun intended?
No.
It feels like it's ruining the ice cream.
Yeah.
But what if the ice cream's really good?
Doesn't matter.
Wouldn't I want it in a bowl or a cone rather than a toilet?
I don't know. Sounds kind of crappetizing.
Hey, where is that Morty D'Souza?
It's not funny.
He's not on vacation this week.
He's not. He doesn't have any more days to burn. I don't know. I think you guys are overreacting. I think this is funny. I think this is... It's got us talking about it.
It does.
It's got plenty of articles. And if I ever go to Tel Aviv, I will probably seek this place out to get a picture of me eating ice cream that looks like waste out of a porcelain toilet bowl for fun.
Gross. Tom is in Harrisburg this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Happy Monday, DA.
Happy Monday, Tom.
I just wanted to welcome you back. We missed you.
Thank you. These guys did a good job, though. I got to hear a bunch when I was driving around early last week, and it sounded good. Show sounded good.
Yeah, they did a good job, but there were so many guys on the show, I don't know where they all came from. I thought they might be living in Pete's basement or something.
We don't have the room.
Yeah, we have like a colony of workers underneath the building that we just let up during summer Fridays and stuff.
I just wondered how the search for the new executive producers going to replace the artist formerly known as Mraz. Is there like a list of finalists? Anybody withdraw their name from consideration? Any surprise interviews? You got any updates?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah, yeah. Mayim Bialik withdrew from the race about an hour ago.
Because I've been kind of all over the place filling in for Rome and then on vacation, I have not been around the office enough to kind of know the ins and outs, but Pete has. It sounds like, Pete, if I'm gathering from you correctly, we're at a finalist stage.
Yes, I believe so.
Who's in charge of this
let's
thing?
Let's just hope. I just
that's
hope
my
that
first
we
question.
On this week.
The guy about to work with DA, DA knows nothing about it. Pete wants to be in the interview. He's like, I think we're at finalists. Where does the information actually come from? Who's the correct person to ask here?
Ask one of the writers. They probably know.
Mraz left the show like a year ago at this point. We're still just...
I know. And I was the one predicting next year, and I'm already fed up with it.
Almost there.
Five or six or seven adults just hanging on a hook here waiting for someone to give him a call.
And here's the best part.
Oh, Pete's calling. What's going on?
Here's the best part.
I can work next Tuesday afternoon. Sure, Pete.
The best part is I go on paternity leave next week.
And you're the guy
that's, with that.
You're like making the schedule 8 weeks in advance at least, and you got guys on that schedule that might actually get the job. So you're gonna have to you're screwing yourself. You're gonna go back and revamp out those schedules.
You don't know how many questions I've asked about that. But I hope that this week will be a moving on process in the whole thing. At least I hope.
A CGI botcher is sounding better and better by the minute.
Well, you'll get a whole lot of botcher when I'm on leave.
And how long are you going to be off for?
3 weeks.
How many children did you have?
Hey, I have said this. I said this at the beginning.
Are you getting it for bringing botcher here, too? He's my son. Paternity leave.
I said this at the beginning of the spring. People knew this.
So basically, we'll have a new executive producer when Arizona State plays in the Big 12.
When they're once again bowl eligible.
Radio phone week.
Meantime, here's Boyle. Living and dying every single day, hoping for a crumb of information. And we're just like, we'll see.
Oh, what do you know?
Pete's going to be on paternity for 3 weeks. Maybe we'll get around to it.
Connor's just living here so he can cut down on travel costs and just see you face to face, and you can't even give an answer.
Sorry, it's not out of my hands.
Was it ever in your hands?
I had some opinions.
Oh, man.
So soon, to answer your question, soon.
Before the new year.
That's right.
Before fiscal 2024.
We're getting there. Now, will the other guy be back here before we find him?
Yeah, maybe we'll just stretch until Mraz comes back.
Oh, we have some
like
time
it never
here.
Happened.
I found some of those tweets.
Oh, some of the angry tweets towards Mraz?
Yes, it was on his first bit they did, where he's standing outside the Yankee Stadium, supposedly yelling at Carlos Rodon.
Okay.
All right, so here's a couple.
Okay.
The first one, oh, God, get rid of this guy. Show's already terrible. How to turn it off and stop influencing more moronic fans to boo. The next one is this guy is dreadful. Let Tiki and Evan do their own show. Can we hear more of Evan and Tiki and less of this guy?
Somebody did once ask, do they pay him actual U.S. dollars for this?
Get rid of this guy now. Hopefully Tiki can bring some maturity to the show. Two guys really trying their hardest to be cool, failing miserably. How the hell does this clown have a platform? You know, all that.
Got it. I'm sensing the tone.
Okay. those are the tame ones.
Those are the ones that weren't blocked for offensive language.
Right.
Carla with a K, welcome back. The guys did a great job in you and Pete the Body's absence, especially Mr. Kind Sir Andrew Bogish. Good to hear you continue the speaking out of Fisher scam. It's frustrating to see the A's team and fans treated that way. Yeah, they did a great job last week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know. Maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
Pete the Body got fired up, ripping writers and actors for not finding a solution to the writer's strike. Do you care about the Writers Guild of America being on strike? 70% of you say no. Now, the data department tells us the strike officially started on May the 2nd. It was the first strike in 15 years as they could not come to a new contract. 11,500 film and TV writers belong to the Writers Guild, and luckily all the best shows from the 80s can still air and will not be affected, so Pete the Body is only angry because of current jeopardy.
Exactly. These morons have been on strike since May. May. Here's my way to arbitrate, or whatever it is, the whole situation.
Okay.
However you say it. Make someone be the point man every time they have negotiations, so you don't have this issue anymore. There's one.
So you are willing to be the arbitrator between
yes.
these two sides?
I am.
Okay. What did we decide of the fail here?
This very conversation.
This very conversation. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Have they figured that out, by the way? Is it officially Ken Jennings and what's her name?
Well, now Mayim has left the Celebrity Jeopardy.
Okay.
She's doing this, I think, in honor of the SAG-AFTRA writer's strike.
Oh, okay.
Are you doing theta tonight?
What do you mean, in honor of the writer's strike?
Come on.
You're not writing Jeopardy.
Game show. Enough.
I'm not as in tune with the reasoning, but
enough.
Ridiculous, these guys, millions of dollars walking around. I'm getting a little tired of it.
Well, the writers don't make millions of dollars.
Yeah, but then the actors are stepping in now, like they're going to do something.
Solidarity.
Yeah, oh, hey, I'm going to hold the picket sign, then they're going to go back to their $400 million mansion. Get lost. Enough. I think you're an idiot.
But pay the writers, let's go.
Do you support
pay the writers, let's go.
Do you support the writer's strike?
Oh, look, get your money. Get your money. But you know what? I don't need to see the actors out there. They're not doing anything to help the matter. How about you pay them, all right? And you take care of the problem, all right? Well, get this over with, and enough with this these solidarity claims. Enough.
What if
I want to watch a game show? Trash all that garbage.
Your idea to solve the writer's strike with the producing companies is have the actors pay the writers?
Yes, they should. they should chip in.
They do not need you on that picket line.
Come on, man.
If Pete wasn't a union, he'd be perpetually on strike. But here he is telling the actors to get back to work.
I need Blossom
on my Jeopardy screen.
Make sure my deal's taken care of. Enough.
I want to watch a game show, damn it.
And you can still watch Jeopardy. You can't just watch it with Blossom.
Oh, I got to watch one from 4 years ago. Great. I just don't like him. Because Blossom needs to go out and have a coffee and walk a picket line for a couple hours. and then go back home. I want to get something out of this whole thing that they call life. Enough. Ridiculous. Enough. Very bland.
How can you be that stupid?
Forget the bugs.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Maya Bialik is a wonderfully interesting person.
Great.
She once said that she taught her children sign language before they could actually speak so that they didn't have to wear diapers. So by 12 months, they were using the potty. She had taught, because I guess she's a neuroscientist or has a background in neuroscience. She would teach them sign language. She would teach them clenched fist side to side, man, I have to go to the bathroom. Boom, no diapers by 12 months. So Pete, I think maybe we should think about that with our kids.
Well, shouldn't she be doing something more than picketing then? She's much better than acting.
Okay. That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to executive producer Pat Boyle, who's in this week. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, audio director. Thanks to Mr. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good. Be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow for Trash Tuesday. I'm DA. And the mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.